Ready.
Let's do it.
It's been way too long.
Yo.
Let's make sure we're still up on YouTube. It's letting us on here.
Yo, man. So we literally took a break and became... went to number one, dude. We're number one. Just say it, dude. It's sexy.
Sexy.
We are first place in the West.
I, you know what? We've been the best team in the West. Can we just say that? Like, there's not been a team that's been up to our caliber in the West. And I understand that we have some pitfalls, especially with the recent loss to the San Antonio Spurs. Fuck the Spurs.
Let them have their moment.
Fuck the Spurs.
Let them have their moment, bro.
But,
like, worst team in the NBA versus the best.
Do I think that Sam Presti is messing with the Spurs by maybe saying, give it to them?
Give them one.
You know, give them a win. Mess their chances up for another number one pick? Nah, I'm just kidding. But I'm serious, though. Like, I look at that loss as one of those losses that we're going to have. It's a pitfall in this crazy, insane thing. And let's be honest, we've got a target on our back that's seriously the size of Texas. You know, like, everybody's starting to recognize the Oklahoma City Thunder is not a chump team. They're not a placement team. They're not one of those teams that are going to be doing really good and all of a sudden bomb out at the end. You know, like, that's not this team. This team is special. And I think a lot of people are starting to recognize that. So it's exciting to be part of it, man.
It's really exciting to watch this rebuild come into full fruition. And really, like you said, Sam Presti deserves a ton of credit. But in the end, who the hell cares about the general manager compared to the players, right? Like, a general manager will be known for fucking shit up more than they will be anything else. It's very rarely people are known for success. And even Presti, people were calling for his job in Oklahoma City after he didn't get it done the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So much, dude. There's an enormous amount of pressure. It's fun right now because we're young, but, like, we're looking at it. We're thinking conference finals. We have to admit that. We're thinking finals in this year, next year, soon. We're thinking championships. So it really comes down to getting it done. And we know from the previous versions of the Thunder, you may think you're going to have a bunch of bites at the apple, but you might only get one. And you have to, you know, seize the fucking day, bro. And I feel like this team is figuring it out. And even losses like that to the Spurs. Like,
sure.
That just shows you how to be ready any moment because anybody, exactly. It's part of the growth. So, you know, I'm just super proud to be a Thunder fan and the moment that they're seizing and stomping on everybody, dude. This is a special time to be a Thunder fan.
Well, I want to go into this as one of maybe the greatest, I guess people would say the greatest NBA coach of all time. He said something super inspirational about in order to be able to be a championship team, right? He called it the 40-20 rule. You have to have 40 wins before you get to 20 losses. All right. And 27 of the last 30 NBA championships fall within that 40-20. All right. The three teams that did not is the 2004 Pistons, 2006 Heat, and 2021 Bucks. All right. Who are the 40-40 or 40-20 teams this year right now? It's the Boston Celtics, Denver Nuggets, Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, which I would say is one of those four teams should win the NBA Finals. So if you're talking about that right there and you're understanding exactly where this Thunder team is, one of four teams that has a chance to win a championship. When has Oklahoma City had those odds? In a long time. It's been, I feel like, forever, since KD left. And to me, that's something that with this team being so young, it's truly inspirational. And we haven't even started talking about the game last night, but I just want to kind of focus on what we're seeing with the Thunder. And we've been out for a while, haven't talked on a podcast for a while. And I think it's just great that we're having a moment to be able to talk about what's happening right now in front of us while we have 22-something-ish games left.
Dude, I got a new place, bro. So I'm pumped. We're going to be back on a regular. But yeah, I mean,
what's up, Wyatt?
Watching from the peripheral while everything was happening with the Thunder and now everybody's talking about us, and it's like, man, I miss hanging out with all you guys and just like talking shooting the shit and talking about the Thunder. It's been a tough time to not be around because of all the success. But what my belief is that everybody out there who knows us, they know exactly what we'd fucking be saying. And I got to shout out everybody who let us know how much they missed us while we were, you know, taking, just getting our house set up and getting everything going. Yeah. I mean, I would be waking up and I'd see all these messages from people and it would mean everything. So shout out to all the love out there, man. But this moment is for the Thunder. This moment is for what we have for our city, and what we've been able to create. And there's going to be a lot of moments in the future where people are comparing other teams' rebuild to our rebuild, because let's face it, this is the greatest rebuild of all time. So when people look back and they're like, hey, how do we copy it? You know, it's going to be attempted to be replicated, but I promise you it will never, ever be duplicated.
There it is.
Yeah. All right.
I wrote some things down, bro.
Let's see it.
All right. First of all, more so of what we've been called the last year, just the year. I decided I wanted to kind of like just like cut it off at a year. And the reason is because I think a lot of our own podcasters that are local podcasters in Oklahoma City, they didn't even believe in this team. They didn't understand what was happening.
Do they now?
But we were called delusional. Delusional for saying that this team could win above 50 games. Like by every fucking podcaster in Oklahoma City. We were called out of touch. We were called not understanding how to diagnose the game. We were said that there is 0% chance that this team wins 50 wins this year. Stop lying to yourselves. Multiple people would say that. I mean, I've got a huge list right here of just constant stuff just going on and on about how our fans were the most annoying fans in the entire basketball world. And how we were just so delusional. Our fans that are liking The Last Storm were delusional because we believed in this team. And to me, that's where this all began as a group, as a unit here of Mark and I talking on the mic and everybody else out there listening and calling in. And like, this is where the rubber met the road. We all sat here and we were waiting for this moment. We were waiting for this moment to be able to sit there and be like, we told you guys so. But instead of doing that, we decided to focus on our families during this time. And I think it's one of the most amazing things that we could have done, to be honest. Like, instead of sitting out there and gloating and being like, motherfuckers, we told you guys, right? All of our fans were fucking right. They're not delusional. Like, instead of doing that, we decided to focus on our families. And I think it's really great because, like, the reality of where this team's at is, Mark and I said to each other when we started, if all we do is educate the Oklahoma City Thunder people, the Oklahoma City Thunder fans, of how to look at the game and how to see what they're seeing, that's all we do. And then we stop after they start winning. We're good with that. Because to us, it was about being a fan when the shit was the shit. It was about saying this team is going to be out of the shit sooner than anybody else thinks. That's all we brought. And I'm so fucking glad I'm able to meet and look at our chat right now. It's bombing with Moani and Niner by Nature and Wyatt and OSU Trade Deuce. Like, you guys, like, seriously, being able to be part of this group has been the most amazing thing. And it's been hard to be off, but on the same sense is that there's so much positivity happening with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You don't always need us anymore. So let's talk about this game, though, bro, because this game was fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, dude. Okay, crazy. So I didn't get a chance to watch
it. I know you watched it, but...
So I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth, bro. I watched highlight clip on YouTube 10 minutes worth because, like, I'm still unpacking. But real quick, you tell me what happened. You got down by double digits first half, the quarter. So tell me, like, what happened there?
Dude, it was the first quarter, the beginning of the game, it was a shit show, bro. It was, like, I don't know, man. It was one of the worst first quarters that I've seen in a while for this team. I think we scored 4 points in the first, like, 6 minutes or something like that. It was, like, just not good, right?
It was concerning. But I was watching
again, I think there was two or three different times that we went 8 or more minutes without or getting out of the single digits for scoring. Okay. Yeah. So, like, this team just hit some funky spots, right? But here's the thing. When we started scoring, it was so quick. Yeah. It was like all of a sudden, next thing you know, is within like 5 minutes, we're down 16 or 15 or whatever it was, or 14. Next thing you know is we're leading.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so fast. It was like steal after steal after steal. Like, we had 5 turnovers in the entire game. One for each starter.
Damn.
One for each starter. That's it. But you want to talk about what we had for steals in the game? Because, like, this is one of my favorite subjects of what this team was able to do last night, because we just dominated. We dominated the Suns. All right, steals. We had, Chet had one. Jay, Will, Shea Gilgeous, Alexander, and Dort all had 3. Josh Giddey had 2. And Aaron Wiggins had 4. All right? The defense we had was insane. We had 16 steals against the Suns. All right? And then think about this. And then we had multiple times where we went 8 minutes without scoring very many points at all. All right? 5 turnovers. All right? So, like, things are happening with this team. When we're able to put it all together and we're able to put, you know, we're pretty much in the entire quarter, we score single digits in a game, right? Like, if we're looking at that and we're saying this team has a legit opportunity to put things together just before the playoffs or as the playoffs happen, like, who's going to stay with us? Who's going to be able to stay up with us if we go multiple quarters where we go 8-plus minutes with only scoring single digits, right? And you combine that into 16 minutes, which is pretty much a full fucking quarter. We went single digits. And we still win this big against the Suns. Like, how are teams going to stop us? Suns aren't chumps, man. They're not chumps.
So we get up by 24. They're really good. We're up by like 24, right? And then next thing you know.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, it's like
third and fourth quarter, bro.
Like, what the
It was the hardest. What hardest happened? Basketball, bro.
Was it just like we were missing shots, or were they
just, again, we just ran into one of those spots?
Yeah.
We couldn't buy a bucket. There's nothing we could do that was working. Like, our offense wasn't clicking. We weren't getting turnovers. It's not we were really getting turnovers. We weren't getting turnovers. We had 5 turnovers the entire game. We weren't doing
that.
It's
so important.
Our offense was working. We were getting the wide open shots.
Yeah. If you go through a dry spell where you're not scoring, yeah, and you're not, and you're having a bunch of turnovers, then it's really difficult for coach to fix it. But missing shots, he can tell, okay, are we just missing shots, or do we need to get better shots? But turnovers, you don't learn anything other than get that guy out of here. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And to me, like, there was like our offense was still getting open shots. Our offense was getting to the places that we need to. It was just things weren't going in. And to me, like, that's not a bad thing. I mean, let's just be honest. It's not a bad thing. You can sit there and say, well, that's not what you want, right?
Right.
But if you're able to run an offense, right? Okay. And you're able to tell me, run an offense and get your shots off without turning the ball over, get to your spots, right? Get late in the shot clock. Okay. And you're able to tell me that we're just not able to convert shots. I'm going to say that's something that's rarer than us being able to convert, you know, 3 at least out of 10 shots or 4 out of 10 shots. You know, like, I think it's like all the wrong things have to hit the team in order for us to go those minutes without scoring, especially with not turnovers. You know, like, it's just, to me, it's just like, that's what we're talking about. You know, like, if we were talking this team had 20 turnovers, then the game wouldn't have been a game. You know, like, in those droughts, we had 20 turnovers where they're able to pick up, you know, but like every single time we hit a drought, we came back with good defense by getting a fast break, wide open layups really quickly. You know, Aaron Wiggins was a master at it. And it just, you know, those are the stuff that popped us out of those funks. J-Dub getting to the lane, like, getting back to the basics. So, you know, it's about understanding where this team is at when the strengths at the time.
Right. One of the things we've seen happen over the last few years is this team never, ever can be counted out. Down 20, doesn't matter. So in a game like this, where after having a 20-point lead, a team puts on a run, and now they've taken back the lead, most of the time, the other team is just like, they're like, well, you can have the game. Like, it's just like, it's almost every time. After you've given up a 20-point game, like a run, then the team just can have it. But not us, right? So it's no surprise after being up by 20 and letting them have the run, we still come back and win. It's just the flow of a game, and our understanding, which you see from coach, and it goes through Shea and the rest of the players, have it that the game is a 4-quarter game, and there's going to be ups and downs throughout it. But you can't get too high, you can't get too low. You got to stay focused on the final result, and that's the thing. But as we've seen that happen, now we're having people say like, oh, well, this is evidence maybe that we're not ready for a playoff run. How do you feel about that claim?
Hmm. 35, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. His name is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, he does everything. Like, he is the MVP of the league. When you score 35 points, have 8 rebounds, have 9 assists, have 3 steals and 3 blocks, who the fuck are you going to say that's going to stop him? Nobody. So,
do you think he's better than...
With that being said, with all the amazing stuff that we can talk about Shai, right? But the MVP of this team and the what's going to put us in a different league is our bench.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason why teams are going to have a miserable time playing us, okay, is our bench. And I want to say this with all due respect to the rest of the benches in the league, our bench is the best. And this is why. 86 minutes last night from our bench, 0 turnovers.
Wow.
0 turnovers in 86 minutes from our bench. Okay. Gordon Haywood's still trying to figure out, he only had 2 points. Right. He had 2 points from Bayamba, which I love seeing him play last night. Right. Because Nurkic or whatever the fuck his name is has 31 rebounds. So fuck him. Isaiah Joe had 8 points. Right. He had 2 back to back threes at one point. Unbelievable. Isaiah Joe. Cason Wallace had 5 and Aaron Wiggins had 7. Like, this is what we're seeing from this bench is it's truly unbelievable. Like, Shai will be the MVP to the league if he continues doing what he's doing. But our team, having a bench that goes out there and puts up 86 minutes with 0 turnovers, allowed us to be in this game in the first place. And they weren't out there, you know, yes, they went through scoring droughts or whatever, but don't look at it like that. Like, they took care of the ball. They got the shots they were supposed to get to. Like, nothing fell in for those guys at those moments. So for me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is what we need to be able to have in order to be able to get a deep dive in the playoffs, is a bench that just dominates. And do I think that Gordon Hayward is one of those players that is going to be on the bench in the playoffs, right? And averaging 15 plus points a game? I do. And so when you're adding him, getting into the groove of things right now and getting healthy from his injury, you add him at 15 points a game, we're talking about a different league from this bench. And then you got Mike Muscala in there for sharpshooting and getting Chet an extra 3 or 4 minutes of rest, bro. Bam.
How did you feel about Moose's minutes, bro?
He didn't play.
I saw him in the game. I did.
He didn't play.
No,
you're right. There's other white guys out there now.
What it was I saw Gordon wearing 33, and I thought, that's Moose. But it wasn't Moose.
33, I know. It threw me off. I was like, Moose is out there.
Like, no. No, he's not. Okay.
Yep.
Okay,
Gordon Haywood. He's took those 33, bro.
All right, good. So
let's talk about. I did the same thing. So
let's talk about what's happening with Shai. Okay. It reminds me a little bit of a couple other times in history where, like, you think you know what's going to happen over the next decade. Like, Luka was supposed to own this decade. When he showed up, this was like, Luka was supposed to be the next everything, right? And he's proven to be that. Like, I'm not saying he isn't. But then all of a sudden you have this guy named Shai, and you're like, maybe Shai is a little bit sweeter than Luka. And this wasn't supposed to happen, bro. Like, do you think he's better than Luka? Let me ask you that first.
All right. I've debated this with every fucking NBA fan that I've talked to that's not an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. All right. And this is what I always go to, is that the old NBA. Now, we say the old NBA as if it happened a long time ago, but it's not. Okay, guys, we're talking 3-4 years ago, the old NBA, right? Mm-hmm. That's how old it is now. Okay. Offense was fucking king. You need an offensive player that can destroy everything. Defense wasn't something that you necessarily needed somebody to do, right? It's more of a offensive-minded league. Mm-hmm. Now, what's happened to the league because of this offensive-minded league is that the defensive-minded players in this league are starting to play defense. Imagine that, right? That are starting to get better. They're starting to understand that if their defense is a high level and the offense is a high level, they'll be known as a better player than with the best guards in the league.
Right.
And you think about that. in a league that's driven by forwards at this moment, okay, centers and forwards, which is strange saying, right? Mm-hmm. But it is. And then you have these guards. And if you look at the guards, who are the three guards in your mind that are the best guards in the league right now? Young guards, not old guards, young guards. Shea, mm-hmm. Luka,
right.
And right. You can add whoever the fuck you want, right? Yeah. But yeah, there's one spot in there, right? That it could be added to a player that's over 30 years old. That's how much the change in the league has completely changed. Now, people will say Luka's better because Luka, right, is a better offensive player in their opinions, okay? Like, seriously, Luka's offensive skills is insane. But if you're an NBA expert, an NBA fan, you're watching Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and you're saying, wait a second here. He not only plays offense, but he plays fucking defense.
Defense.
Not just at a little level, but he leads the league in steals. He leads the league in deflections or top five in deflections. Like, this dude is on a whole new fucking level, because if you're playing offense and defense, right, this is what we call the fucking grandpa league. All right. This goes back into the 90s and early 2000s when people like Michael Jordan gave a shit and people like Kobe Bryant gave a shit on both ends and nothing was given. Right. That is the difference with this league and the young players in this league, is that they give a shit on defense. And that's why Luka is a great player. And for the rest of our lives, we will say Luka is one of the best offensive players to ever play the game. And his stats will be insane. But if he never learns how to play defense, he might not even be known as the best guard in the league.
Yo, I'm starting to feel like if Shea doesn't win the MVP, it's going to be a complete travesty. Because, I mean, to do what this team has done.
Fuck it, dude. I don't care.
Complete travesty. Because how could you give it to Luka right now when Luka's team isn't even...
You know why?
Why?
No, you know who will get it? It will be one of two players, in my opinion. All right, at this point. Okay, because Embiid is out of there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Injury. You're going to have to give it to the MVP as a nod from our MVP for the finals MVP from last year, right?
All right.
Joker. Right? You got to give him to nod because that'll be his third MVP as being labeled as one of the greatest players of this generation. Okay. Or you got to give it to Shea.
Right.
Okay. Like, people will yell and scream all about Luka, right? But the NBA doesn't want an all offensive players in the league anymore. They think it's great for the league. Don't get me wrong. But you want these guys that are these defensive superpowers that are offense and defense. Why? Because it's better for the league. And people are like, well, the league right now is turning into an all offensive league. I know. That's why you want to reward the defensive players right now. Reward them. Show them they're worth more than somebody that just can go out there and score 70. I would rather somebody be able to go out there and score 35 points, put up 9 or 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, and a win by 8 points than somebody that goes out there and scores 50 points, puts up a 50-point triple-double, and they have to go into overtime, or they lose, or you're sitting at a position being like, oh, we scored this many points, but we couldn't get the win. Like, that's what I don't think is healthy for the league. What we call fake fucking numbers. Like, LeBron James, right? Breaks Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, but gets beat at home. That's not good, right? And then LeBron James goes and scores 40,000 points and they lose. Like, that's not good. You don't want that shit.
You think Luka and maybe Victor and maybe a few of these other stars start thinking like, hey, Shea's got it pretty good. Shea's got it pretty good. Like, yeah, he's pretty damn great, but having a team around him looks like a fucking great thing, man. Like, maybe I should get one of those Sam Prestis so I could have a team around me too. Think they feel that way?
Yes. Like, are you going to be happy with Jeremy Sochan as your number two guy?
Hell no, bro.
I'm getting somebody else in here.
Dude,
give me somebody else in here that can play and can score. I'm just saying.
How many number one picks do they need as a young team?
In any young team, you could say this with Detroit Pistons. You could use this with any young team. They're looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder and they're like, That team is as young as us, and they're fucking dominating the NBA. I want that. I want that. Are you telling me that Ant's happy right now with Minnesota? And he had an opportunity to go to Oklahoma City. You think he would say no? Fuck no. Anybody in the league would recognize that Oklahoma City is a place to be.
I don't want to
anybody.
I don't have anything nice to say about Ant, so I won't say anything at all. But
dude, listen. Dude,
this is
the NBA is full of a bunch of antichrists, bro. All right. Guys that will never be Michael Jordan as AI calls him the Black Jesus. No one will ever be that caliber. All right. But there's players in the league that people are saying, oh, he could be that good. He could be that good. Right. But listen, when Michael Jordan was starting off, nobody was whispering that until Jordan was over 27 years old. And guess what? He was in the league with Larry Bird during that time. He was in the league with Magic Johnson during that time. He was in the league with all these guys that people are screaming to the top of their lungs, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, best players ever. Right? And we are seeing that same exact change happen in Oklahoma City right now, where all the people in the world are saying, LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James. And here is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander quietly coming from an up-and-coming city that nobody would have expected to have a player, much less a billion-dollar stadium and a multi-billion-dollar brand-new skyscraper. This is what's happening in Oklahoma City. It's getting ready for championships. It's getting ready for championships. We all know it. If you guys have been part of a team that has won a championship before, whether it's any sport at all, you can feel it. You can feel that charge. You can feel that feeling, like, whether it's a New York Giants fan, right? Even though they're getting their asses handed to them. And then they get to the playoffs and they go on the record and they go and play against the Patriots and they beat the Patriots. And nobody recognized that. Nobody understood what was happening. You know, you can talk about young teams. You can talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody understood that they were going to be the next best team in the league. They thought they were too young. They thought the Kansas City Chiefs were too young with Mahomes going to the playoffs. You want to talk about Tom Brady? I'll talk about Tom Brady for a second here. One of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback ever. His starting quarterback got injured and he went in and won a championship. Nick Foles, starting quarterback, gets injured, goes in, wins a championship. The best of the best. It has to start at some point. And that's why Mark and I are saying that this year is the year that everybody stops and says, we didn't see that coming. We didn't see that coming. And no matter how good we think this team is going to be, Mark and I could not have said in the beginning of the year that we think this team is going to make the finals. But I'm sitting right here right now and saying that our chances to make the finals is 25% right now. And that's fucking crazy if you think about it.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. How many other teams in the league have that opportunity? I don't know, but I'm just saying, Rick, right now, like, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, if I'm LeBron James or I'm like the Phoenix Suns or any of these teams, I'm saying, okay, I want on the other side of the bracket. I want my chances to be able to see them at the conference finals. I don't want to see them early. Don't want to see them early. I don't give a shit where I'm at. I just don't want to see the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first fucking round. Because everybody knows we're not fucking fake. They all know we're for real. And it's just weird that some people are taking this long to recognize it. So I appreciate you guys for recognizing it.
Love you guys. Boom. Buckle up, bitches. It's going to be a hell of a run. Let's be there. Let's do it, Dave.
It's here, guys. It's here.
We'll see you soon.